Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, it can be pretty difficult to keep track of what is where and who is where and what's being broadcast or streamed on what platform these days. And lots of things are always moving and shifting. And we get the news that YouTube is going to own the rights to the Oscars. We also have Netflix buying up some podcasts. And then there was that potential merger with Paramount and Warner Brothers and Netflix all involved. It is all so confusing. So to help us sort through it is Matt Wolf, entertainment reporter for CBS, joining us on KMOX. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Oh, I'm just as confused as you are.
Wait a minute.
You're looking for sanity from me? Hang on a second.
Yeah. Well, if you don't know, then what are we going to do?
So, listen, you know, there's a song from Bruce Springsteen that came out a number of years ago called 57 Channels and Nothing On. Now there's 12 billion channels and nothing on, guys. I don't know where to begin. So this move, first of all, let's talk a little bit first about the Oscars and YouTube. This is a seismic move. I turned on my computer and I'm like, well, that's got to be a mistake, because I knew that there was going to be a bidding war going on when ABC's contract ended with the Oscars. And, you know, granted, ABC has had the Oscars for decades, since I was a kid. That's weird that it's not going to be on ABC anymore, number one. Number two, it's not jumping to a traditional broadcast network, not even Netflix, which is a little bit more established with these live events, although they've had problems too, you know, in recent years and months with doing these things. But the fact that it is not going to CBS or NBC, I mean, this speaks volumes. It goes to YouTube in 2029, where it'll go, and that'll be the home for the Academy Awards from 2029 to 2033. It seems like a long way off, but trust me, it's gonna move pretty quick. And it shocked a lot of people. I mean, you remember when YouTube was that cute little internet thing that, you know, yeah, we all watched cat videos on and everything? And the same thing with Netflix. It was that cute little company run out of a garage. You get your little red envelope with your DVD. Oh, how quaint. And now look at these companies. I mean, but this is where a lot of the audience is going. And shows like this, like the Academy Awards, which is arguably the Mount Rushmore of all the award shows, you know, they have to go where the audience is, you know, seeing the stuff, even for part of the time. Let's face it, for better or for worse, streaming is a part of our culture now, and there's no denying it. And this is sort of the capper to it all. It's a big move.
I'm just kidding. I'm with you. I was floored when I saw this was YouTube. And I thought, man, you're seeing this, and Chris was talking about it earlier, this seismic shift that's happening now. And I appreciate the fact of there are 12 billion channels, and I'm sure there's something on, but I have no idea how to find it. And I'm really curious to see on this whole YouTube thing, how do you follow a channel that How do you find it, I guess, is the big thing. Because I subscribe to a number of things on YouTube, and I can't even find what I want to look for. Like, if I've watched something in the past, I don't have to get back to it to go watch it again. So it just feels like we're seeing a whole paradigm shift where you're seeing these channels like YouTube go straight up against the networks now. And the networks are already in trouble.
Well, listen, I mean, last year was the first year for ABC and Disney where they put, you know, finally the Oscars also on Hulu, another streaming service. Now, you bring up a very good question. How do you find all this?
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, you know, if you're, say, a dedicated YouTube loyalist or a Netflix loyalist or an Amazon Prime loyalist or an Apple loyalist or a Paramount Plus loyalist, you see where I'm getting here? I mean, it's nutty just talking about all this. They have a few years to figure all this out and suss it out, including the technical, you know, undertaking of something as big as the Oscars. So I'm sure they're going to target things in the right way. Now, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, this is all well and good for the Academy. They have to grow a little bit. They have to evolve. They have to be there, as I said before, where the audiences are. But one of the things is, you know, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, when you're at home watching something on streaming, right? You got that habit to put it on pause, go upstairs, make a cup of coffee, go to the bathroom, help the kid out with going to bed, whatever. You're kind of like in that mode where, yeah, no problem, I'll just start it up again, you know? So you're looking at a potential, I don't want to say loss in audience, but there's that distraction factor there, or there's sort of like an ease of taking care of other things, like, you know, during a traditional Academy Awards broadcast, you get up during the commercials, right? And then you run back downstairs to see the next person whose speech, you know, they get shortened and booted off because the orchestra is playing. We'll talk about that in a second and how that's going to change the whole dynamic. But, you know, that's something you might want to look at on the flip side here. How does it erode your audience? Sure, you've got potentially billions of people watching on a platform like YouTube, but, you know, where is the headspace for the average watcher for something like this? I'm going to be curious to see how that rolls out.
Okay, so let's hit on that. It's something that I didn't even think of, that now that we're not on broadcast television, it's not on the network, they're really not worried about time any longer, or normally wouldn't be. So what do they do when a speech goes on too long?
Right. You know, my good friend Clayton Davis over at Variety, he wrote a great article about this yesterday, and I was thinking about this exactly. Gone will be the days of those shortened speeches, right? No more rushing off the podium. For one thing, Adrian Brody can take all the time that he wants. That's a lot of time, believe me. But, you know, creatively, this offers a lot for the Academy to do more things. You know, the other thing is all of these really important, at least in my opinion, as a cinephile, you know, all these really important, you know, categories that have gotten the shaft before on broadcast television, to be quite frank, you know, where they're just mentioned, you know, on the red carpet presentation. Oh, this one got the technical award and sound achievement. They're not confined in a 3-hour broadcast anymore. And whether or not the audience will jibe with that remains to be seen. But creatively, there's a lot here that the Academy and YouTube can really, really pick into and can make it a pretty robust program from here on out.
All right, Matt Wolf, one more thing for you. I know you got to run here, but the Warner Brothers Discovery deal. And I know that they had advised the shareholders to reject it. And this is so confusing because Netflix is part of this, Paramount is part of this whole thing, and there is some animosity that's going on.
Yeah.
What will end up happening here?
It's a bidding war, straight out. You know what I mean? Paramount all of a sudden came, you know, to the table this week, I believe, with an offer. I mean, it's been just such a crazy week between all of this and the unfortunate situation with Rob Reiner and then YouTube. So, you know, breaking this all down is not an easy thing. There's a lot happening in entertainment during normally what is a quiet time of the year. But you want to talk about these mergers and how significant they are. I mean, look at everything with MGM and Amazon. That was another huge merger, right? And now Netflix, you know, the little company that could, as I mentioned before, running out of a garage, you know, when it first started, basically, is now about to gobble up Warner Brothers. Now, this also represents that paradigm shift that we were talking about. But the big thing is whether or not this can clear regulatory hurdles. I mean, even President Trump said, I'm not too sure about this, basically, because it is so big. And the concern is it's about creative concerns. It's about job concerns. You can say all you want, but you got to read the tea leaves. You know, Netflix is not the traditional movie company, right? They don't release theatrically. They'll put something like K-pop Demon Hunters in the theaters for a weekend, and it'll make some extra coin and do really good. But they usually, you know, they'll put Frankenstein, which is doing really well, and it's an awards favorite this year. They'll put Frankenstein in for a couple of weeks before they take it out, and then it's a Netflix exclusive. So if this goes through, what's the model do they follow for Warner Brothers Pictures? And now you've got theater owners that are rolling their eyes going, come on, we're having enough problems as it is since the pandemic. Now we're going to be dealing with a company that has these short theatrical windows. You know, or not, Netflix says, don't worry about it, but we know how some things can change, and that's what it's about. It's about evolution. And again, it's about going where the audience is. That is key.
Matt, appreciate you. That was great stuff. Thank you for joining us today.
Appreciate you for having me, guys. Have a good holiday, okay?
Same to you. Matt Wolf, entertainment reporter for CBS, visiting with us on 104.1 FM KMOX. And this text message comes in is right where I'm at. It says, who the hell is going to watch 6+ hours of Academy Awards with all the extended speeches and obscure awards that is destined for failure? I imagine that they would still do the obscure awards some other time.
Or they would
and not during the main
them.
Thing. But here's the thing. I don't think even if there's no time constraint, because they don't have to worry about getting back to local markets or whatever it is, they're going to take a cue from baseball, I would hope. And that it's okay if a game lasts for 4 hours, but people are starting to tune out
right
from the sport. So you got to do what you have to do to keep their attention. And even though you can go 6 hours, you shouldn't go 6 hours. So they're going to have to move it along still. You know, they're not going to let these speeches go on for 7 minutes.
The one thing could be very entertaining is you lose all the constraints that you have of the rules of being on a broadcast station. So people can say whatever they want to say. So on these speeches that
they're
giving,
that's the other thing, you're right.
Not only could it be long, it could be as blue as they want to be. And they can say whatever they want to say, as long as they'll allow them, obviously. I'm sure they're going to try to put some parameters in it, because the Oscars try to be a little more highbrow than the Golden Globes, right? So the Golden Globes is more of, it's a party, we're going to be a little more edgy, and we want to be edgy. I could see the Golden Globes on YouTube being a whole lot of fun. The Oscars, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And do you guys watch the Oscars?
I don't watch award shows much anymore.
Yeah, I don't care.
I like to know who's nominated. I like to know who wins every now and then, you know, certain categories.
Yeah.
But I don't really, I don't do the award shows as much as I used to.
Do you watch them?
Not really. I'll maybe check online afterwards to
me
see,
too.
Like, show me the list of winners per category. But most of the time, too, and they'll make fun of me for this, but like, I don't really keep up with the newest shows or the newest, like, music. So, like, the Grammys, too, I don't really watch that much because I'm not really listening to most of the new stuff that comes out. So I'm just kind of like out of touch with a lot of the new stuff anyway. So I wouldn't even recognize most of the movies or you know, music artists.
A lot of the movies that get nominated for these awards,
yeah,
I have never seen them, and nor will I ever.
That's
because I look at them and I'm just like, yeah, I have no idea why that one. And this movie that made $3 billion gets no mention whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, really? Well, all of us who were regular people who paid money to go see a movie all went to see this big blockbuster movie, and it gets nothing. And then some obscure movie that, look how artsy this is. Like, yeah, don't care. don't want to see that. Even if it's on Netflix, I'm
sometimes
not watching
I do
it.
Like those, though.
Sometimes, but they're more rare than they are norm. And the bigger stuff tends to get passed over. So, I don't know. The whole Oscars thing got real political a number of years ago. And even though I'm political, I don't want it in my movies. I want to just enjoy it. And the less I know
do
about my
celebrities...
Do you
want it if you agree with it?
No, I don't. The less I know about celebrities' political opinions, the more I like them. Like, I really like Tom Cruise's movies. I will watch every Tom Cruise movie that is out because I think he's a great actor and I love the type of movies he makes. They're my type of movies. I don't want to watch anything on Tom Cruise outside of a movie because I don't want to know anything more than I already know about him because he's weird as he could be.
Because you don't accidentally want to become a Scientologist?
I don't. I'm, you know, he and John Travolta, I'm like, man, I like you guys in the movies and I want to keep you where I like you. And I don't want to know more about you because it's not like we're going to be buddies and hang out and have beers together. Let's be real.
I had the weirdest dream the other night.
Uh-oh.
I was in a house. It wasn't my house. There was somebody else there. I'm not sure who it was. And Tom Cruise was there.
Ooh.
And I introduced him to Liam and Noel Gallagher. They came in the front door and I was like, hey, Tom, do you know Liam and Noel? I don't know what that means, but
I'm dying to know what he represents in your mind.
What is I don't know, but what does Oasis represent? This happened like 3 days ago.
Wow.
This is a recent dream.
Cheetah pepperoni pizza before bed?
No.
Normally it's something like that.
Hey Noel, Liam, do you know Tom Cruise?
You get to be in the next Mission Impossible movie. It'll be great.
And it wasn't even weird to me. It was like I was supposed to do it.
I had a thing, and I know we need to break. I had a thing when I was in high school. I was like a sophomore, and Magnum P.I. was still a TV show way back then. Yes, yeah. I'm that old. But I literally had this dream that was so vivid and real. I walked out of my house and expected a Ferrari to be sitting in my carport.
And it wasn't.
It was not. It was crushing.
Mike
Elam. Crushing.
Chris Ronji, it's KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chris and Amy's show, but Mike Elam is in today for Amy Mark Scores. And as I promised to you, we have a pair of tickets to give away for the Let It Be Christmas, a rock opera.
Hey!
And this is at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center, December 23rd.
the prize was given us to give to you by Rocky Marlowe. And you've got to have a valid email address to win. So make sure you know that before you try to win these tickets. And we need caller number 5 to our contest line at 314-955-1120. Caller number 5, best of luck to you. And we still are going to have those auto show tickets that we'll give away. So that's coming up before the show's over, too. So do not worry if you don't win these tickets.
What's going on today?
I know, man. Like, I feel like, you know, if we don't do anything here on this show other than give away tickets, I'm fine. Well, because I feel like...
I think the audience is, too.
Well, in that case, if you think about it, we are providing a good service to the community.
You are. Mm-hmm. I would be curious to hear what this Let It Be Christmas rock opera is all about.
I mean, it's Beatles.
But I want to get some more feedback on it. It looks great. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
I probably should go see it.
Yes, I probably should.
I probably should go see that thing. I'm into it.
And like we were talking about, I've heard really good things about the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. Friends were just talking about it last week.
Everybody raves about it.
Yeah.
For you know, as far as I can tell, Amy has been there a couple of times, and she says it's great.
It probably gives you a little better experience, not to say that, not saying anything bad, but the Fox is what most people know to see a play,
mm-hmm.
but it's 4,400 seats.
Yeah.
And the average Broadway theater in New York is 600 seats. So I bet you Kirkwood gives you a better feel of what a Broadway show would look like on Broadway. Because you're going to have a more intimate feel. So I'm sure it would be a great environment to go see.
We have some really cool venues here.
We do.
In St. Louis. Like the smaller ones, obviously the grand ones like the Fox.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome place to see a show. Stiefel is great.
The Scheidegger Center at Lindenwood, as I wear my Lindenwood gear.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 1,200-seat Broadway-style theater. It's the largest stage in the Midwest, by the way.
And even those the sorts of venues you go in where it's like a music hall where you just kind of stand and watch. I just went to, for the first time, and it's relatively new, the Sovereign. The Sovereign, which is on Wash Ave, which is in Midtown. It's not too far from where the Fox is. That's a great place. Just saw a show on Saturday.
Have you been
and it's
to
pretty
the,
new.
Have you been to, is it the fountain that's in?
Fountain on Locust?
No, that's a good place to eat and have a sundae. What's the venue out in Chesterfield?
Factory.
The factory.
The Factory.
Yeah.
That's amazing too.
So yeah, we've seen a couple of shows out of the Factory and that was really good. I really enjoyed that venue. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Pageant in U City.
Yeah.
Which is another good venue. Yeah. I haven't been to the Pageant in a long time.
Yeah, Pageant's good. Delmar Hall's good.
Yeah.
This place I just mentioned, the Sovereign, really good. And they the Sovereign is the same whatever group or person who owns the old Rock House, which is sort of on the way to, I don't know the exact neighborhood. I always get it mixed up, but it's pretty close to the Four Hands Brewery on the way to Soulard.
Oh, very cool.
From the city.
You're right. There are so many really unique venues. And we were just kind of reminiscing the other day about how I miss Mississippi Nights down on the Landing. That was an awesome place. And then you had the place at Westport, the Playhouse at Westport, which was 1,000 seat in the round. That was a great venue as well.
I think that's where I saw... Did I see... I think I saw Harry Connick Jr. there.
Oh, you could?
I think I did.
That would be a great place to see.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been gone for a while.
Hey, we have talked a lot about data centers on the show. We talked about the proposed one in the St. Charles area, the one at the Armory. We had an advocate for data centers on earlier in the week. But tech reporter for the New York Times, Eli Tan, has done a piece on the environmental and electrical cost of data centers. And Eli will join us when we come back. Next on KMOX. A new report out this week talking about the strains that data centers may have put on Illinois' power grid and some of the environmental costs as well. To talk about that with us and what the reality is of data centers that are proposed for various neighborhoods. As we've mentioned, we've talked about the Armory in St. Louis, and there was a proposed data center there, one in St. Charles as well. Technology reporter for the New York Times, Eli Tan, is with us on KMOX. Eli, good to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So let's talk about what some of the major findings are, first of all, from what's been going on in Illinois. And we have heard anecdotal evidence from people who have lived near data centers who say their water pressure is all but gone, or it comes out of the faucet and it's brown. There have been all sorts of these anecdotal stories that we've heard, but can we talk about some of the findings that happened in Illinois or came out of the state of Illinois?
Yes. Well, I believe, you know, this is similar to reporting, you know, that I've been doing over the past year across the country, which is that these data centers are, you know, these massive facilities, and they're being built at kind of an unprecedented speed. And in places like Illinois, but also, you know, places like Georgia, Texas, that's, you know, it's put a strain on local water supplies. Some people that are very close to the projects, you know, through construction, are having issues with their taps. And then you have, you know, kind of frequent power outages around these facilities as well, just because of the massive amounts of energy that they're required to use.
Yeah, when we talked to you, it was at some point last year about a peculiar Missouri data center that was proposed. A lot of these rural towns are fighting back against the data centers coming to their area. We've heard some pushback against the pushback that actually it's good and that it is the future and that we should be prepared to go that direction and should be more open to the idea of data centers. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think this has become the central tension of the AI boom right now, where you have these massive tech companies. They are a high-tech industry going into some of the low-tech parts of, you know, our country and rural areas that, you know, don't have the infrastructure needs to kind of meet them. And there's this question of, you know, who should make sacrifices for it? You know, should it be the people of Peculiar that all of a sudden have to have this massive building in their backyard that they don't want? Or is this the type of thing that, you know, the AI companies would say, yeah, this is necessary. You know, if you want to have the internet, you're going to have these trade-offs.
Where do you think we're going with this? Like, I keep hearing about the fact that we're going to have data centers to power all the things that are coming and everything that we want. And a lot of people say, I want all this AI stuff. I think it's cool. I think it is a way that it's going to help my life. But no one wants a data center in their backyard. I mean, I'm in St. Charles County. And boy, if the data center argument could have got any worse in St. Charles, I don't know how that would have been. People were coming with torches and pitchforks for the elected officials there if they were going to build a data center. Now you're seeing this down in Festus where they're talking about having a data center. And there's another one they're talking about out in Warren County around the area. What's the truth about these data centers? Does it really use that much water? Does it really use all this power? What should people be concerned about? Or is it mostly just hype and it's not real?
Yeah, I would say it's not entirely hype and it's not entirely not real. In some cases, sure, the uses of the energy in the water might be exaggerated a little bit. But, you know, what you tend to hear from these people in these towns is that, you know, we're not against AI. We're not against data centers. We just don't want it in our backyard, which is, you know, at some point, they're going to have to be built somewhere, right?
Right.
I personally would predict that, you know, as the backlash gets worse, these data centers probably aren't going to be getting the same kind of tax breaks that they are now, where they're being invited to come in. You know, they probably will have to work a little bit closer with some communities. I'm actually working on a story now about the race to put data centers into space because there are so many problems with having them on Earth. That these tech companies, you know, they would rather not deal with any neighbors and any, you know, local water and energy. They would just rather put them in space and kind of harness solar energy and keep them away from Earth and make them as big as they want. But I think that kind of shows some of the fantastical thinking that this whole issue has kind of drummed up where, you know, the solution of putting them in space, I think that shows that there aren't really there's not really a good thinking of what to do with them on Earth.
It seems like there is a lot of money that comes to the community that does embrace a data center. If they build a data center there, it tends to be a windfall for the community in terms of tax revenue. So I would think in these smaller, more rural communities that don't have the resources that you may find in a metropolitan area, if you can get the energy there, and I'm hearing all these things about the water is more of a closed system now, that that's the way they're building the new data centers. But if you can put them in these more rural areas and do it, those rural areas could really see a financial boom. Is that true or is that fallacy?
That is true in some respects, yes. I would call it maybe a little bit of a delayed windfall because a lot of these projects are getting, you know, tax breaks for a few years where they don't have to contribute too much right away. But no, absolutely. I mean, Meta is building a $30 billion data center in rural Louisiana, and, you know, that's going to generate tens of millions for, you know, that county. You know, I think it's a question of these are new economic buildings. Like, they don't employ a lot of people, whereas, you know, a big factory, you know, it might create 500 blue collar jobs for a community, whereas a data center is going to, you know, employ 10 electricians. And yeah, you're going to get tax revenue. You're not going to get employment. I mean, it's just hard to look at these projects in the way that you might a project that moves into a small town. But yes, I think there are definitely plenty of benefits.
Yeah, that was my question to you, was about what a typical data center would employ, because part of what we hear as well, it'll create some jobs, but I've also heard that it's not very many jobs, like 10, 15, something like that. It's not as if we're talking about a larger factory here where you've got several hundred people who will find themselves with work.
Yeah, they do not employ many people at all. Most of these data centers are empty, just filled with, you know, miles of computer racks, basically, and servers. But, you know, they do take years to build, and, you know, that construction is intense. And in the construction process, they are employing a lot of people, although it is more temporary. But yes, one of the benefits of these projects is definitely not that they are going to employ a ton of local workers.
We're talking with Eli Tan. He's a technology reporter for the New York Times. Eli, one of the things that I was hearing in terms of jobs, it's not necessarily the jobs running the data center that come with this, because like you're saying, I think the St. Charles one that they were proposing was going to have like 100 jobs total, and that was it. But the construction phase, from what I'm understanding, never really ends. You start building it. It happens in phases. And by the time they get to the final phase of building it out, they go back and start doing rehab phases. And it feels like, from the way it's been talked about, construction is something that never really ends there, because once the computer technology is used for a while, it changes so much, they have to go back and keep updating this. So the jobs are different types of jobs than what we're used to your earlier point.
Yes, exactly. These data centers, once they're completed, every 3 to 5 years, they are going to cycle out the computer chips that are inside them. But the, you know, the 10 or 20 jobs that are in these data centers are going to be these very highly technical electricians, a lot of them that don't even live in the city they're in. They're getting flown in from around the country because it's so specialized. These are not going to be jobs that, you know, the average person that is going to trade school can do right away, I would say.
So we talk about data centers as if, and we had a guest on this earlier this week who was more of a proponent of them, who says this is the future. We are going this direction. It's unavoidable. So we can either be on top of it or be bypassed. What do you say to that? I mean, is that the reality, that it is unavoidable, that we're going to have to go this direction? We're going to have data centers built all over the country, and there's nothing we can do to stop that, so we might as well just get on board.
You know, you hear that a lot. I think the future is what we make of it, right? I mean, we can decide what future we want to build for ourselves. You have plenty of places in the U.S. that are already, you know, don't have much energy, don't have much water. And you have places that are, you know, hot climates, arid climates with droughts, where, you know, people and their neighbors are being told you have to ration water in the summer because we don't have enough of it. Meanwhile, the data centers can't turn off their water supply. And I think, you know, something like that, yes, we want AI, we want to be leaders in technology, we don't want to be bypassed, but also, you know, I think we have to make decisions for, you know, what's best for each other. And in a lot of cases, I think that means, you know, figuring out a way to build these data centers in a way that's not harmful to the local communities.
Eli, in your research, have you found any places that are doing the data centers well, or is it just way too early in this data center world to make that call?
Yeah, there are plenty of places that are doing them well. the New York Times, Karen Weiss, my colleague, she did a story, you know, in central Washington, where you have these data centers that have become this incredible boon to the local high schools and a lot of the local electricians, and created this really great economy where everyone is doing well. I mean, you have data centers in Kansas City that most people, they wouldn't even know they're data centers because they're out of the way, they're off the freeway, there are no houses nearby, they're quiet. There's a Meta data center just south of Kansas City that I went by, and you know, you wouldn't even know that it's one of these scary data centers. So absolutely, there are places that these are being built that have been kind of partnering with communities rather than being a nuisance to them.
Well, and when people say data centers, we hear about these huge 300-acre complexes, but a lot of data centers are these smaller little places. Because I know in St. Charles County, we have the MasterCard processing facility that's out in O'Fallon. And every MasterCard transaction that basically happens in the world runs through O'Fallon, Missouri. And that's a data center, but no one thinks of it that way.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, we've had data centers for, you know, decades, right? Ever since the internet, you know, that's how it's working. There's this, you know, servers somewhere that are kind of processing it all. But these new AI data centers, absolutely a different beast than something like the MasterCard facility.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a couple of these up close, and I mean, these are, you know, there's a data center in Indiana that's the size of like 7 football stadiums. I mean, these things are colossal.
Eli Tan, technology reporter for the New York Times. We appreciate you. Thank you for the reporting, and thank you for talking with us today.
Always great to be on. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I fully understand, and as I have said a number of times, why I would not like one to be at the Armory, for example. And it goes a little beyond the environmental impact, which is huge, you know, the electricity, the water, and how it would affect people in the area. But also, I don't like replacing what used to be a gathering spot for community.
Right.
Replacing it with this building with a bunch of servers in it and nothing else, and maybe a handful of people working there.
I think there's a happy medium that you can come to. I mean, so I remember the nuclear power plant that went in Russellville, Arkansas, and Arkansas Tech University is in Russellville. Because of the tax money that was generated there, Russellville High School had the nicest athletic stuff, because all the taxes went to the school. They had a rubberized track before anybody else had any of this stuff. And their track meets were like, wow, this is Olympic style looking stuff. But they got so much tax revenue that came into that school that they had the best of everything. I think there are areas that you could probably put these data centers that would be a windfall for certain areas, certain communities.
Oh, yeah.
And it would just change the complete economic makeup. Like, I'm thinking down in southeast Missouri, down south of Springfield, or down south of Cape Girardeau area, where they need an economic boost. They need something that's really going to help them. I don't think you necessarily need to put it in St. Louis. I think you could put it in these outlying areas that have a lot of room, that have a lot of land, that have a lot of resources. And they could really be a game changer for those smaller communities and be the building block for them to be able to grow on.
Not totally opposed to the idea of data centers at large. I think we do need them. And they do need to be in the right areas. And whatever assurances are made with the communities where these are built or the nearby communities, there has to be ironclad guarantees that your costs are not going to go up for electricity.
Right.
We're not going to be taking your water. And you are going to see the tax benefit. It's not going to be this sort of thing where we promise, hey, like the lottery, hey, this is money going to schools, and then it doesn't go to schools.
But we're going to take all the general revenue out.
Yeah. So like you know, if you're going to do this, it can't be a thing where a couple of people make a buttload of money on it and nobody else benefits from it.
It's got to be a
because
win
I'm
for the
sorry,
community.
But I'm skeptical that these developers that come in and say, "Oh, let's have a let's have a data center here." I don't think you're thinking of the community. I think you're thinking about how much money you individually, personally, and your company will make by building this data center or by it being there. So I don't have a lot of trust in that way.
And
so until you can guarantee the communities where these are built that they will in fact benefit the communities, and there will be hard proof of it, like we'll see, and a year from now or a year after the thing is built,
the community can say, see, this is all that we have done and all that we have gotten by these data centers being here.
Well, I think right? Eli said, when I said, are there examples? He pointed to Washington State. Yeah, there are examples here where everybody's doing well, and it's great for the community. Follow that roadmap, and you don't have to be first. You can follow somebody else who's already invented the wheel and go from there.
Congratulations, Eduardo from Fairview Heights.
Hey.
Going to go see Let It Be Christmas at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center.
Beatles for Christmas. You got to love it.
Now.
Yes.
We got another one.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of wheels. Did you say something about wheels?
I did.
Yeah. St. Louis Auto Show is January 22nd through the 26th at America Center, and we have a pair of tickets for that provided by the St. Louis Auto Show. And you have to have a valid email address to win. And we just want caller number 4 to the contest line at 314-955-1120. 314-955-1120. Best of luck. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock today.
Woohoo!
Bernie Miklas and me, Chris Ranji, Bernie Miklas and me. And we will talk to Sam Dykstra, who covers minor league baseball. It's a good time to talk about Cardinals prospects.
It is.
So we will do that. And we will also talk to Mizzou play-by-play voice Mike Kelly. Bo Prabula, the quarterback of the Tigers, has entered the portal. So he is leaving Mizzou before their bowl game. They play in the Gator Bowl. So
that'll be interesting.
I bet some people are not happy. We talked to Major Garrett. Not happy. Mizzou guy.
Mike Kelly will have a really good take on that.
Congratulations, Dave from Centralia won those auto show tickets.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll have more of those to give away tomorrow and for the Let It Be Christmas Rock Opera at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. So those will be given out tomorrow. Sean Malone, KMOX's very own, here reporting that he spoke with Dr. Sam Page's attorney, who confirms no deal has been made with his criminal case regarding his decision to not run for re-election. So there was some speculation that maybe there was something there involved, that a deal was made because we know that there was the indictment
right.
on the use of campaign funds. So we also learned right before the show that Sam Page is not going to run for re-election. So his term will end. And that will be the it of Sam Page as county executive in St. Louis.
I would bet there's going to be some things that you're going to see go away in that lawsuit pretty quickly because they got what they wanted. Sam's not running again.
I bet you're probably right on that. That was probably the deal. Like, hey, maybe you step aside. We won't pursue any of this stuff, but we'll see.
Mike Elam. Stranger things have happened. Thanks for letting me be Amy today. Amy, I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you for pinch hitting.
It's my
good to see you, Mike. Mike Elam.
Good to see you.
Mike Elam, Chris Ranji, thank you for listening. And don't worry, man. There's more coming up. It is the Gas House Gang, Bernie Miklas and me. Next, we'll talk Cardinals prospects and more. Also, Bo Prabula has said he is leaving Mizzou. The quarterback is leaving. He is entering the transfer portal. And we'll talk to Mike Kelly, who is the play-by-play voice of the Tigers. That's all coming up on the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
You could shop at Straub's at that kind of money.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.